You are listening to The Beckett Cook Show with your host, Beckett Cook. For more information about Beckett and his ministry, visit his website at beckettcook.com. To help support the podcast, visit patreon.com/The Beckett Cook Show. Please consider subscribing to the podcast and leaving a 5-star rating.
Hey guys, welcome to the Beckett Cook Show. I'm Beckett Cook. And as you know on the show, I like to look at the culture and see how it influences us as Christians and the lies of the culture and what the biblical truth is underneath those lies. And today I have kind of a surprising topic. And for some reason, over the last week, the movie Grease, the musical, came into my mind. And I started thinking about it, and I remember seeing it as a kid, and I, of course, loved it, and everyone loved it. And I started to think about the themes of the movie and what it was, what the messaging was. So I went back and I watched it again the other night, and it kind of blew me away what basically the main theme of the movie is. As you know, it's John Travolta. It plays the character Danny Zuko, and Olivia Newton-John plays Sandy Olson. And they have this kind of summer romance in Malibu or wherever in Santa Monica at the beach. And then she's supposed to go back to Australia. She's from Australia. The producers of the movie wanted to cast her, but she couldn't do a convincing American accent. So they just put it in the storyline that she was from Australia, which worked. So she ends up not going back to Australia with her family. They end up staying in California, in Los Angeles, basically. And she ends up going to Rydell High School, which is the high school where this all takes place. And it's Danny's senior year at Rydell. And of course, Danny Zuko is the leader of the gang, kind of the like biker sort of leather jacket gang, the T-Birds. And, you know, Kaneki is in the gang and a few other guys. And there's also a kind of the female version of the T-Birds, which is called the Pink Ladies. And Rizzo is the leader of that gang. And Rizzo was played by Stockard Channing. All of these actors, by the way, were like in their late 20s and some of them in their 30s playing high school students, which is kind of funny because I remember as a kid thinking like those people look kind of old, but everyone looked old when you were a kid. So, but I realized thinking about it and watching it again that, you know, the main theme of this beloved movie by all Americans, and I'm not trying to be Tipper Gore about this at all. I just want to point out that we don't live in a vacuum and that we are where we are today because of very specific cultural moments that have taken place since the 1960s. And this was one of those cultural moments. And the movie was based on a 1971 musical, the musical Grease. And it's interesting because that year was a pivotal year. And 1971 was right on the heels of the 1960s sexual revolution. So it makes sense that the themes of the movie would be sexual in nature. And so, and also that was kind of the beginning. 1970 was really the beginning of the gay movement. 1969 was when the Stonewall riots happened in New York. So the main theme of the movie is that Sandy, who is kind of this innocent sort of goody two-shoes girl, is not really who she should be. And by the end of the movie, she becomes who she should be, which is a hyper-sexualized version of herself. So that's kind of the whole theme of the movie, is this pent-up young girl blossoms into kind of a sexual woman by the end of the movie. And it's interesting how that transmogrification happens. And I went back and I really listened to the music, and the lyrics are crazy. The lyrics are so sexualized. And I'm going to go through some of the lyrics today. But as you know, Danny and Sandy had that kind of summer fling, kind of romantic love affair. Not a love affair, but they had a romantic fling. They went steady, basically, over the summer. It was very innocent. But when Sandy comes back to high school, to Rydell, she runs into Danny, and she's like, "Danny!" And immediately he's kind of, you know, just like blown away by seeing her. And he's like, "Sandy!" And then he realizes his cool friends are behind him. And so he suddenly like shifts and he's like, "Oh, Sandy." Like, and he pretends like he doesn't really know her because she looks too goody two shoes for the T-Bird gang. So at the beginning of the movie, before that scene, they sing "Summer Nights," and it's kind of like the song is between the point of view of John Travolta, his point of view of the relationship over the summer, versus Olivia Newton-John's point of view of the relationship over the summer, and they're very different in nature. John Travolta's view is very sexual, and Olivia Newton-John's is not. And so I just kind of want to read a couple of lines from the song "Summer Nights." You know how it goes, "Summer loving had me a blast," like that song. So the T-Bird say, tell me more, did you get very far?" Meaning, did you have sex with her? And then later in the song it says, tell me more, was it love at first sight? Tell me more, did she put up a fight? Like, did she put up a fight when you tried to have sex with her? Like, there's so much like weird sort of like rape undertone in this. It's very strange. And then near the end of the song, it says, she says, "He got friendly holding my hand." So, of course, her version is very innocent. And then he says, "She got friendly down in the sand," which is, of course, a sexual allusion. And then she says, "He was sweet, just turned 18. And then he says, John Travolta says, "Well, she was good, you know what I mean." Again, there's sexual innuendo almost in every other line of this movie. It's just out of control. And it reminds me of this kind of like led to TV shows like Three's Company. And I don't know if you remember Three's Company with John Ritter and Suzanne Somers, but it was, I think it came out in the late 70s, early 80s. But I mean, in that show, everything was sexual. All the jokes had kind of sexual innuendo. Like, that was the entire premise of the show. And then the show Friends, the TV, you know, the sitcom Friends is all about sexual innuendo. Will and Grace, the same thing. How I Met Your Mother, on and on and on. So I think that Grease, the musical, the movie that came out in 1978, this came out in 78, was kind of one of the seminal moments when the culture was shifting in terms of the way we treated sex and sexualization on TV and in movies. I mean, obviously there were movies before that were sexual in some TV shows, but this was, I think, a big turning point in the culture. And then Frenchie, who's part of the Pink Ladies, Frenchie really kind of takes a liking to Sandy. She feels kind of sorry for Sandy, innocent, sweet Sandy. And she is talking to the Pink Ladies and talking to Rizzo. And she says, "You guys, how do you like Sandy, huh? Do you think we can let her in the Pink Ladies?" And Rizzo says, "She looks too pure to be pink." So again, there's that sexual undertone. It's like she's too she's too goody two shoes. She hasn't, you know, she hasn't had sex. She's a virgin. Like, she can't be part of the Pink Ladies. That's kind of the message there. And then Frenchie has a pajama party. She invites all the Pink Ladies to this pajama party, and she invites Sandy, Olivia Newton-John, and she attempts to pierce Sandy's ear, and Sandy starts bleeding, and she passes out basically in the bathroom. And while she's in the bathroom, Rizzo sings the famous song, "Look at Me, I'm Sandra D." And you'll remember, "Look at me, I'm Sandra D." And so, and Rizzo is making fun of Sandy. And Sandra D, of course, was an actress in the 1950s and or in 60s. And I guess she had a very kind of goody two shoes reputation. That was her persona. And so Stockard Channing says, "Look at me, I'm Sandra D, lousy with virginity. Won't go to bed till I'm legally wed. I can't, I'm Sandra D." So again, it's just like pushing kind of this like sexual liberation messaging, this kind of sexual movement and sexual revolution. It's really pushing. And so, and then later in the movie, oh, by the way, the opening credits of Grease is the song Grease. And it's kind of, it's sung by, I think, Frankie Valli. And he says, it's interesting, the lyrics of this, of part of this song. He says, in the lyrics of the song are, "We take the pressure and we throw away. Conventionality belongs to yesterday." So you see how immediately in the beginning of the movie, they're signaling that conventionality, traditional roles, traditional sexuality, or traditional norms are being thrown out the window. Conventionality belongs to yesterday. So this is kind of ushering in a new wave of what it means to be a human. And it means sexual liberation. It means being sexual. And then he goes on to say, "There is a chance that we can make it so far. We start believing now, but we can be who we are." So again, this part of the song is kind of addressing that whole sort of hyper individualism, that radical individualism that started happening in the 60s and 70s. And so he says, but we can be who we are. So again, it's kind of like, forget tradition, forget norms, forget, you know, values, forget any of that. This is a new day. A new day is dawning, and it's all about hyper individual expression and sexualization. And so then in that song Grease, there's this kind of existential moment where he sings this part, which is interesting to me. He says, "This is the life of illusion, wrapped up in trouble, laced with confusion. What are we doing here?" And what's interesting about that, what struck me about that line, "What are we doing here?" is it's like, yeah, if you don't know why you're here, of course, all bets are off and anything goes. If you don't know why you are on this planet, it doesn't matter what you do. And that, of course, that's, again, that's in my life. I've talked about this many times, but when I was living as a gay man for 20 years or whatever, however long, there was no God in my life. There was no, I was an atheist. I didn't believe in God. And I, of course, thought that finding sort of my kind of sexuality and expressing my sexuality was part of the reason I was here, was part of the reason why I was living. That was a huge part of my life, was sexual kind of sexual engagement. And of course, when what are we doing here? Again, when we don't know what we're doing here, we don't know this is a postmodern situation. And as I say all the time, when I was living in that postmodern world where there is no right and wrong, there is no up and down, there is no black or white, it's just whatever you kind of believe in your mind because of what your feelings are, it's all based on kind of your feelings and your interpretation of things. But when you live that way, you can do anything you want. It doesn't matter what you do. But when I got saved 11 years ago, when God redeemed me out of that life, praise God, so glad he plucked me out of darkness and into his light, because it's so much better. Kind of like in the book of Hebrews, everything, you know, Jesus is better. Jesus is better. But it's so much better to be in the kingdom of God than to be in the kingdom of darkness. And once I knew, you know, why I was here, because, you know, the day I got saved, it was such a road to Damascus moment. And I knew exactly why I was here, what I was doing here, where I came from, and where I was going. It was so clear. And once that happens to you, everything changes, including your sexual ethic, including, and you understand why God sets up boundaries for sexuality and sets up these boundaries for sexual ethics, and what his sexual ethic is, what the biblical sexual ethic is, and why he created sex, which I've talked about in another episode, so you can go back and watch. But so it's interesting that, you know, this movie is being produced and written by people who are secular humanists who don't understand who God is and don't understand what the point of life is. And so, of course, when you don't understand that, then you just go with your feelings. And if those feelings are sexual feelings, you just go with that. And that's what our culture has been doing since the sexual revolution in the 60s. And then there's the song Grease Lightning, which I can't even tell you what some of the lines are, because they're really, really raunchy. I didn't realize how raunchy they are. Remember in the movie, Grease Lightning is when Kanicki he bought this old jalopy, sort of 1950s jalopy, and they're fixing it up, and John Travolta, and they're all in this kind of white stage and singing Grease Lightning. Grease Lightning. And I'll spare you the details of the song, because they are extreme. They're like rated X. And I didn't even know that. Like, as a kid watching that, I remember watching that scene and loving it, but not really understanding what they were saying. And they say a lot, and it's all extremely, extremely sexual. So if you want to look that up, you're welcome to do that. But I can't read that live on air. And then there's this turning point in the movie where Sandy has this major sort of turning point. And it's when she goes down to the LA River to watch the drag race that's happening between Kanicki and Leo is the kind of rival gang leader and of the Scorpions. And Kanicki kind of has this like sort of accident. The car door hits his head and he passes out, basically. So John Travolta has to take over and do this drag race against Leo, the head of the Scorpion gang. So there's this drag race, and Leo's girlfriend, remember his girlfriend Cha-Cha, she's like wearing a scarf, and she takes it off, and she's like, starts the race. And Cha-Cha's an interesting character too. She's super hypersexualized as well. So Sandy is watching the drag race, and after she sees the drag race and sees that John Travolta wins, she has this moment of kind of like, I want to be like them. I want to be sexual like them. I want to change. And she sings look at me, I'm Sandra D, but in her own way. And she says, it's interesting. The lyrics are really interesting. She says, look at me. There has to be something more than what they see. Wholesome and pure, oh, so scared and unsure, a poor man, Sandra D. And then she goes on to the next stanza. She says, Sandy, you must start anew. So she's changing. She's realizing she wants to become a new person and become no longer the prude, sort of uptight, goody two shoes. She wants to become a bad girl, right? And so she says, Sandy, you must start anew. Don't you know what you must do? Hold your head high, take a deep breath and sigh. Goodbye to Sandra D. So you see, she's basically saying goodbye to that purity, that pure life that I was leading. Goodbye to that kind of goody two shoes, traditional old fashioned way of thinking, old fashioned way of living. I'm going to become this sort of sexualized person, and I'm going to become a part of this group, and because I want to belong to the culture, I want to be a part of the culture. And that's what the movie's all about, really. And then at the end of the movie, there is the song, of course, You're the One That I Want. And it's when Sandy comes out and you see her new outfit. She's no longer wearing like a poodle skirt and, you know, a cardigan sweater. She, with her hair, like, you know, perfectly, you know, brushed, she comes out and her hair is all teased, and she's wearing basically the female version of the T-Birds outfit. So the T-Birds all wore black leather jackets and black, you know, pants and blah, blah, blah. And Sandy is now wearing super tight black spandex pants and a black top that's kind of low cut. And she's wearing black heels. And so this is her transformation. This is, you know, she's coming into her own. She's coming into herself. She's coming into her true self is what the message of the movie is. And it's almost like this is the message of the movie is telling the audience, this is what you need to be. You need to be sexual. You need to come out and come out of that shell and come out of that old way of thinking and come into this new way of thinking about sex and sexual liberation, which of course, as I always say, is sexual bondage. But in the song, You're the One That I Want, it says, I'll just read a couple lines from it. It says, you know, John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, it's a duet between them. And it says, you better shape up. She says, you better shape up because I need a man and my heart is set on you. You better shape up. You better understand. To my heart, I must be true. And again, this is all about that, the whole ethos of follow your heart that the culture has been indoctrinating us with since the 60s. Follow your heart, follow your heart, follow your heart, follow your heart. And we know from the Bible that the heart is deceitful and wicked. And so we should never follow our hearts. We need to follow God's heart. We need, as Christians, we need to follow the word of God and follow what his heart is. And so that line, to my heart, I must be true, is so powerful to a culture. And by the way, this was one of the big, I think it was the biggest grossing movie of all time at that time in 1978. I think it was one of the biggest grossing movies of all time. And then, so she says, to my heart, I must be true. And then she goes on. And then John Travolta says, I better shape up because you need a man who can keep you satisfied. And of course, once again, sexual undertones in that, who can keep you satisfied. And so It's just interesting to me. You know, I you know, as a kid, when I saw this movie, it just seemed so innocent and fun, but obviously it's not. There's so much underneath the fun of this movie is so much kind of indoctrination and messaging, and that led to so much more, obviously, over the last 42 years, 43 years. And that's where we are today. We're in this kind of upside down world where everything is good is bad, and bad is good, and left is right, and wrong, up is down, and down is, I mean, everything is just upside down in our world today. And we wonder kind of how that happened. And obviously the movie Grease is an example, a very potent and a very pivotal example of how we got to where we are today. And that's why I focus on culture so much, because politics is downstream of culture. Culture kind of sets the agenda. It sets the rules for the society and for even for public policy. And that's where we are today. And it's not like we got here out of nowhere. I mean, it's because of movies like Grease. And again, I don't want to be, you know, this kind of prude about it or whatever, but I just want us as believers, as Christians, to be aware of how we're being influenced by culture, what's happening in culture that makes us believe that things like, oh, homosexual practice is no longer a sin. Like, what there, these are the types of things that make us as believers, as Christians, believe the lie of the culture. We start to look more and more like the culture instead of looking more and more like Christ. And I always say that we're either giving into the pressure of the world or the pressure of the word. And that's why it's so important to, my Bible's over there and I can't reach it, but well, that's why it's so important to be in the word all the time as believers, to combat the lies of the culture. Even just, you know, something as quote unquote innocent as watching the movie Grease, we need to be constantly renewed in our minds by the truth of the gospel, by the truth of scripture, of God's word. And so anyway, I hope this helped you. And I don't know, you might want to go watch Grease again and just kind of see what I'm talking about and see how sort of raunchy the movie is. It really is a raunchy movie. And I hope you enjoyed this episode, and share, like, subscribe, and I will see you next time on The Becca Cook Show. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Becca Cook Show. Your support makes this content possible. All episodes of The Becca Cook Show are also available on YouTube. For more information about Beckett and his ministry, visit his website at beckettcook.com.
Is life feeling chaotic? I get it. I'm Rachel Wojo, host of the Untangling Life podcast. Don't miss the passionate encouragement and faith-based resources you need to help you clear your head and calm your heart. As Shell says, it feels like Rachel always knows what I need to hear. She keeps it real and is so humble. Her podcast is just the cherry on top. Enjoy Untangling Life with Rachel Wojo on lifeaudio.com or your favorite podcast app now.